Hi there, this is Olga Hayes with Sharpest Health. I'm here with great news. We are fast approaching our 100th episode of the podcast, and we want to do something special for that. And we would like your help with that celebration. We would like to feature Sharp employees like you on our 100th episode. And if you would like to be featured, this is what you need to do. Record a 30-second or less audio message on your smartphone and share your favorite health tip or a self-care hack or a wellness practice that has tremendously helped you in your life, or anything else you want to share with our team, and email that audio file to us at sharpbesthealth@sharp.com by June 30th of this year, which is 2021. And everyone who sends us a voice recording will be entered into an opportunity drawing for a Sharp Best Health Wellness Bundle. We are super excited about our 100th episode, and we are really hoping you will be on it. All right, well, thanks for listening, and now enjoy this week's episode. Welcome to Coffee Break with Sharp Best Health. Every week, we sip on a strong new blend of practical tips, information, and education to help you optimize your health, body, and mind. Your hosts are Janice, Emily, Megan, and Olga. Your break starts now. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Coffee Break with Sharp Best Health podcast. This is Olga Hayes, and I'm your host today. So on today's episode, we will be talking about compassion fatigue. Compassion fatigue is most common among professionals who work in a healing or helping capacity, like many of us here at Sharp Healthcare. And if left unmanaged, compassion fatigue can negatively impact and impair our personal, social, and occupational functioning, and even lead to some serious psychological health problems, such as depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, substance use disorder, just to name a few. And, you know, we can even lose our spark in our ability to care and have a lesser quality of life. So it's important to be aware of compassion fatigue. And on today's episode, we just want to talk all about that issue, what it is in more details, who it affects, why it matters, and more importantly, how can we overcome it? And here to talk with today about compassion fatigue is Suze Fleury. Suze is an emotional wellness coach with the Cushman Wellness Center at Sharp Memorial Outpatient Pavilion. And I'm so excited to have Suze today with me. It's going to be mostly her show, and I will be just sitting here asking her questions and just learning. So Suze, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Suze, before we start, I wonder if you wouldn't mind just telling our listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do here at Sharp Healthcare.
Of course. My background is in human services and community psychology, and I have worked in child and family advocacy, reproductive health, but mostly mental health. And around 2014, I founded Heart-Centered Living and Healing. And shortly after that, I began using energy psychology, energy medicine, and became an emotional wellness coach and a certified emotional freedom technique tapping practitioner. Usually most coaches find a niche, and for some reason, I gravitated towards emotional wellness. I just noticed in the fields that I had worked in, how much people were really struggling with the understanding and the regulating of their emotional being or wellness. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing my coaching, and EFT tapping is the cornerstone of my coaching practice. And I have been with the Cushman Wellness Center since 2019. And that is where I work with Sharp employees, Sharp patients, and members of the community. And right now, because of COVID, I am doing virtual sessions, but I can also see people in person.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, so thank you for that wonderful background. You are certainly more than qualified to have this conversation on compassion fatigue with me today, but I just wanted kind of to echo your comment about emotional wellness, right? And how important it is and how many of us are struggling with that. It's we kind of see wellness in a more traditional, through a more traditional lens, right? Oh, it's exercising and sleeping well and eating right. But emotional wellness is just as important, because if you're not emotionally well, then it's probably hard for you to go and exercise. It's probably hard for you to have a good night's sleep. It's probably hard for you to stick to healthy eating regimen. So it's all entangled. And so I think it's very, very important that the work that you do. So thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Olga.
All right. Well, Suze, I think maybe we can also start our conversation around compassion fatigue is maybe with a basic definition, because for some of our listeners, maybe it's a new term. It's kind of a relatively new term. I feel like it hasn't been around that much. So I think it would be beneficial to just kind of explain exactly what it is.
Sure. You know, it's funny that you say that it, you know, feels like it's a relatively new term, but actually it was introduced in about in the 1990s, around 1992, by a nurse. Her name is Carla Johnson, and she was doing a study of burnout in the nursing profession. And what she noticed from this study was that nurses were starting to show a loss of the ability to nurture their patients. So she then coined this condition, if you will, as compassion fatigue. So the condition itself can affect individuals who are continually providing care for others. So that's going to be people like your first responders, firemen, policemen, physicians who are in the ER or urgent care, or perhaps trauma surgeons. And then, of course, our nursing population, those nurses in oncology, the ICU, psychiatric nursing. And it doesn't exclude nurses who do daily care. They too can be affected by it, but probably not as much as nurses who are right there on the front lines. And we're also noticing there are other healthcare providers, such as respiratory therapists, who are starting to see compassion fatigue, because during the height of COVID, respiratory therapists were right there on the front lines with a lot of the nurses and physicians. And it also, can affect our hospice workers and, of course, social workers. And even myself in my career of human services experienced a little bit of it too. So it can affect so many people that are working in professions, of course, that provide care for others. But it is actually the cumulative effect of chronic stress and exposure of those professionals witnessing the trauma of another person. So I'm sure that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And it can also be referred to as secondary trauma or vicarious trauma.
Okay, I've heard that. So is it basically the same? Can they be used interchangeably?
You know, it really depends on who you're talking to, Olga. I think sometimes, yes, it can be interchangeable, and especially vicarious trauma, because vicarious trauma can tend to change a provider's cognitive perspective, and it usually would be related to their life issues. So, for instance, maybe if you were somebody who was constantly having to read the patient files of people who had COVID and perhaps passed away, you're going to have a more heightened sensitivity towards things in your life that you may feel could cause you to have COVID, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So you're aware of your safety, you're a little, you know, more controlling of your environment. And then secondary trauma is basically the result of you witnessing somebody else having trauma. And typically, nurses won't develop trauma themselves unless, of course, you go into nursing and you might have some unresolved trauma from your past. Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty good portion of people in general. So I guess you could say that there is the likability that with secondary trauma, you're going to develop some kind of trauma yourself from witnessing it.
Definitely. Thank you for providing that definition, Suze. I've also heard that compassion fatigue is sometimes called the cost of caring. Have you heard this one?
I have, and I was actually going to mention that as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is the difference between, and I think that can be sometimes be confused, the difference between compassion fatigue and burnout, and which one comes first?
Well, that's a good question. And I don't know that you can say one comes before the other, because some people feel that compassion fatigue can lead to burnout, mm-hmm. but they are different. It's uncommon to hear compassion fatigue referred to as burnout because the conditions are not the same.
Mm-hmm.
So compassion fatigue is more treatable than burnout, but it can be less predictable and may come on suddenly or without much warning, whereas burnout usually develops over time, and that leads to exhaustion or cynicism of your job and maybe a lack of professional accomplishment. And burnout can really occur in any profession. The other difference between burnout and compassion fatigue is that burnout can occur without empathy and compassion, but compassion fatigue cannot.
That makes really good sense. Thank you so much. And the good news here is what you just said, that compassion fatigue is, there are warning signs, right? There are, it's preventable. And I think it's probably important for those who work in those healing or helping occupations, professions, to kind of recognize those warning signs of compassion fatigue. So are there any symptoms that people can look out for in order to kind of prevent that from happening?
Yes, there are a lot of signs and symptoms that come up. I think, you know, you could read a list of them, but I think nurses will start to feel like there is a sense of failure, guilt, you know, maybe they have self-doubt and sadness and they feel powerless. And then they will have difficulty concentrating. They may feel overwhelmed. Again, there's that apathy and the emotional numbness, which comes with, you know, that inability to nurture. And then some will have a bit of isolation and withdrawal. And there's also exhaustion, of course. But the interesting thing is, it's a specific kind of exhaustion with compassion fatigue. It's an exhaustion about having to be there emotionally for people all the time, where you can get exhausted or burned out in another job, but this is, you know, 24/7. It's almost every shift that you're working, you are caring for somebody else. And a lot of these side effects can also start to lead to behaviors where you may start using, or you may start self-medicating and having secretive addictions. So you're going to develop maladaptive behaviors. But mostly, a lot of the signs and the symptoms and the side effects, if they go unresolved, they'll start to stay active in the body. And so the increased wear and tear on the biological system will result in the body's ability or inability, I should say, to repair itself and defend itself. So the result for the nurses is going to be a risk of injury and disease. And then that can also lead to them making mistakes, mm-hmm. That will affect the patient. And then that also brings in the organization's bottom line. But fortunately, at Sharp, we have a really good retention rate of nurses. And I think that's because Sharp really does care and support their nursing staff. They try very hard to be aware of what nurses are going through. And especially, you know, in regards to COVID in 2020, I think a lot of help was really ramped up.
Yeah. Last year was obviously very, very tough on our clinical staff. And I am very proud to be working for Sharp, such a wonderful organization where, you know, we do take care of our nurses or clinical staff, and we do understand how much they're going through. And we do provide amazing resources to help them deal with all these issues that they might be going through, right? Burnout and compassion fatigue. And we are really a wonderful organization and doing so much to help our nurses to be their best and feel their best. And so I guess my next question is, and I think you kind of answered that already, that if you are in a healing profession, in a helping profession, it's probably almost impossible to prevent compassion fatigue from happening. But I wonder if we can at least reduce the risk of it in some capacity. I hope I'm making sense, right? It's not completely preventable. Is there anything we can do at least to lessen the effect of it on ourselves?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. You know, because I had mentioned earlier, it comes on suddenly, you know, so it may not be as easy to prevent it. But the good news is that, you know, you can treat it. So that's a lot easier than trying to prevent it. Mm-hmm. But I also think awareness and mindfulness, and those are two buzzwords or terms we hear a lot lately. You know, I think if you're aware of anything or mindful of anything, that could be part of the prevention, just knowing, and especially for new nurses entering the field. I had an opportunity to talk to a lot of different people prior to this podcast. You know, I was asking a new nurse if in school they are taught about compassion fatigue. And she said it's really, you know, called more resilience. So they are taught about it. And, you know, in a way that was probably much different from when Carla Johnson was a nurse, there probably wasn't a lot of, you know, help out there for nurses. I also, as I mentioned, I talked to a few different people within the SHARP network, and I had the opportunity to speak with a couple of our chaplains. I thought this was just beautiful what Chaplain Paul at Sharp Grossmont Hospital had said. I really love this. He said, "We all have a reservoir that is filled with compassion that we can draw from, yet sometimes you have to allow it to become empty. And that is when self-care becomes very important." And that's another one of those terms that we hear a lot. But unfortunately for nurses, you know, by the time you get finished with a 12 or 14 hour shift, you're not thinking about self-care. You may just be thinking about going home, where you probably are starting the second part of your day, and that's caring for your family. Mm-hmm. And so when we think about self-care, sometimes it feels like, oh goodness, it's going to take, you know, me, it's going to take a long time to do something, you know, that I just don't have the bandwidth for to be able to do before I get home or even when I'm home. So if you can develop little habits of self-care that don't take a lot of time, whether it's prior to going into a patient's room or when you do get home, and I'll get to some of those things you can do once you're away from the hospital, but even I thought this was a great exercise, and I believe that this is going to be in the show notes. It's a grounding exercise that Chaplain Susan Freeman created, where you just do a grounding exercise prior to going into the patient's room as you pump hand sanitizer onto your hands. Mm-hmm. You know, just something very simple that doesn't take a long, long time. And, you know, you can even drop in Robert McClure, who has been, you know, doing a lot of really great work for SHARP for many years. He works and has taken a lot of training in compassion, awareness, and mindfulness. You can even drop in on one of his sessions that he has for meditation during the week. I believe you can probably just go on to the SHARP Best Health or SHARP website and find out what days and where he meets. So just, you know, doing little things like that help. Or, you know, maybe calling the employee assistance program. They have licensed therapists that you can talk to, and that helps. But just some of those little things that you can do. You know, for me personally, prior to working with a patient when I'm doing EFT with them, I'll say a little prayer and just ask that I am protected, but that I am able to offer the best of myself, so I am able to help that person heal without taking too much of myself away from myself, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then when you do get home, you know, doing something like getting outside and taking a walk, or take your shoes off and walk barefoot in the grass or sand and ground yourself. It can be very soothing to do that kind of a thing. And definitely stay connected to your friends. You know, maybe even support, join a support group or start your own support group. And then find a hobby, something that allows you to do something different than what you do during your work days, and, you know, something that lets you be a little bit more creative. And I think it's also really important, Olga, when you are at work, start to take a look at the positive things that you do and witness during your work day, and give yourself a pat on the back for all that you do.
Definitely. Yeah. Wonderful. So I was just sitting here just kind of absorbing everything you were saying. It's so everything is just spot on. I think first for our nurses is just being aware that that can happen to them, right? The compassion fatigue. And I think the education that we are providing at Sharp is helping with that, like even through this podcast. And I'm sure there were blog posts or Sharp Health News wrote articles about this. So kind of having that education on compassion fatigue is the first step. And then being able to recognize the warning signs that you mentioned earlier and kind of look out for those things. And then, yeah, self-care is extremely important. And we like to say here at Sharp Healthcare, you can't pour from an empty cup. Right. If you see yourself as a cup and you just give and give and give, and you finally your cup is empty and then there's nothing left to give. And that's where that compassion fatigue happens. You need to refill this cup. You need to take care of yourself so you can be the best version for others. And self-care is not selfish, right? It's often perceived as selfish,
right?
Because we are actually doing something good for ourselves. How dare we? We need to take care of everyone else.
And I know. Yet,
if we are actually being intentional of taking care of ourselves, that translates into everything else in our lives, including other people, right? And how we take care of our patients and families and friends. It's just better for everyone. Self-care is critical, and I'm so glad you brought it up. There are so many wonderful ways you can implement self-care into your day, including all those little things you mentioned.
And I also hope that people are starting to look at, for instance, massage. Massage used to be looked at as a luxury service, where I think now we're starting to change our perspective, and it's okay to get a massage, you know, and nurses should probably be getting one once a month, or, you know, maybe one every other month. And what's nice at the Cushman Wellness Center is we offer massage. We also offer acupuncture, which can be very relaxing and also help you at a physical level if you have, you know, the aches and pains, which obviously you do as a nurse. But some of the providers in the Cushman Wellness Center are actually RNs. So they really can understand, they can empathize with you. And I have a colleague who I just adore, Sharon Murnane, who has been a guest on your show a couple of times.
We love Sharon.
Yes, she is a holistic nurse. And, you know, you just always feel this calm when you are in her presence. And she does healing touch work, as well as guided imagery and guided meditation. So even seeking out those kinds of providers through the Cushman Wellness Center and taking advantage of their services can be really helpful.
For sure. And this is why we're doing this podcast also, is because an opportunity to talk about compassion fatigue and how important it is and how important to be able to overcome it, but also kind of create more awareness about wonderful resources that are available at Sharp to Sharp employees, right? Like kind of shameless plug-in. We do all the time here on the podcast. We love to promote all the wonderful programs we have. Let's talk about, so Cushman Center, right? A lot of wonderful services are being offered, massages, healing touch, acupressure, acupuncture. So we will make sure to share the contact information in the show notes so people can look look it up and see what's available to them. About you and what you can do. So you are an emotional freedom technique practitioner. So you mentioned that earlier today. So tell me more about this. What is it and how it can help those who are struggling with compassion fatigue?
Oh, definitely. So EFT or emotional freedom technique, it's a combination of traditional Chinese medicine and Western psychology. And it has been around probably since the mid-1980s. It's a form of energy medicine and energy psychology. And what happens is when you tap on meridian points, which is similar to traditional Chinese medicine, and repeat out loud or to yourself the negative emotion or emotions you are feeling that's causing you stress, that tapping shuts off the fight, flight, or freeze response. And, you know, we're not being chased by that proverbial tiger anymore, but we certainly have a good amount of stress. You know, we get in traffic, we go home and we are taking care of kids.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what stress is. Never heard of it.
No, but you're good. I know. No, there are all kinds of stresses, and stress is different for everybody. You know, and how we handle it is different for everybody. So we're all pretty much, when we get stressed, walking around in either fight, flight, or freeze. So what happens is once you can tap, you start to move the flow of the energy again through the meridian channels. And it's all just by doing this gentle tapping on these major points of the head or face, upper torso, and hand, and they're connected to major organs. So a lot of times when you're having stress and you're having physical problems, you know, it's all tied together. Once you tap, I notice that my patient just starts to become very calm. And it's because your sympathetic nervous system, where that fight, flight, or freeze response occurs, shifts into the parasympathetic nervous system. And that's what takes you into the calmness. And it returns your body to rest and digest, or homeostasis, which is actually the body's natural way of being. And I've noticed too, with some patients, it's really nice because it's a modality that can take up to one session. So it's not something that you have to continually do. However, depending on the issue at hand, it could take up to maybe 3 sessions at the most. And it's also a modality that is referred to as being client-centered. So when I'm doing the EFT tapping with you, I'm also teaching you as we go along. And then I usually, after the session, I always check up on my patient 24 to 48 hours afterward, and then I send them tapping scripts. So if they do want to continue tapping on their own, they can.
Well, that's good to know. That was one of my questions that I kind of thought of as you were talking, Suze, is it something that people can do on themselves, or do they necessarily have to go to a practitioner like yourself to get that service? But you just answered that question. So I think that's a wonderful, wonderful way, like going to a practitioner like yourself to get introduced to the service, right? Yes. And then potentially just learn to do it on yourself. And I also wanted to mention, when you were talking about stress, right, and how it's fight or flight or freeze response, and how if we are continuously in that state of fight, flight, or freeze response with no relief, that's when the stress can become chronic, right? And that's where that's what we want to avoid. So it's important to find ways to relieve stress when we feel it. And so I feel that EFT technique is such a accessible and easy way to kind of tackle that stress when you feel it, so you don't go into that chronic stress state.
Exactly, you know, and so you're walking around feeling, you know, when you're in the sympathetic nervous system and you're experiencing fight or flight or freeze, mostly fight or flight, you're going to have more discomfort maybe in your shoulders, or you'll have more muscle aches because your body is tensed up. It's ready to do something. Your digestion is going to close down and you may have some stomach issues or, you know, problems with digestion. Mm-hmm. Then your blood starts pumping more and your blood pressure starts to go up. So, you know, we tap and we just collapse all of that. And at the same time, you're also collapsing the trigger, the emotional trigger. So after we tap, you may think about the issue that was bothering you, but it doesn't have the same intensity because it doesn't have that a negative emotion connected to it anymore. We've looked at it, we've exposed ourselves to it, and we've released it. And it's just amazing how the physical body and the brain or the limbic system and the amygdala all just so connected. And once you work with those systems in the body, just by this gentle tapping and talking, the outcome is just amazing. I look at my patient afterward, and sometimes I have literally seen, Olga, the look of that person literally change, and they almost look like a completely different person. And at first, when I saw it, it kind of freaked me out. I was working with a young girl who was about 21 or 22, and she was pretty stressed. Mm-hmm. And after we got through a few rounds of tapping, you usually do about 3 rounds per session of tapping in one session, but you don't want to do any more than that. And when we got done with everything and I looked at her, I was really kind of taken aback because she looked like a completely different person.
Wow. Well, that is fascinating. This is so interesting. Thank you so much for explaining it so well. I would love to try it. And I'm just wondering, can you tell us a little more how these services can be accessed, how much it costs?
Yes. Well, right now, what I am doing through the Cushman Wellness Center is a little discount, if that's okay for me to talk about.
Yeah, for sure. There's a discount.
For my service right now, there's a bit of a discount where I charge 65 minutes for a 50-minute session, and I can do that in person or online virtually. Mm-hmm. And the charge for the session for the month of June and probably into July, depending on how quickly people can take advantage of it, is only $50.
For how long? 50
for 50 minutes. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
I also do what I call a tune-up. So if you do need to come back in and just tap a little bit more, there's a price on the service menu of, I think it's like $40, $45, you know, just to come back in. And that's when you're being charged the regular price. So that would stay the same.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah. I think it's not surprising to anyone that, you know, those services offered through the Cushman Wellness Center, they're not, you know, free, but they're really very good pricing for massage and other integrative therapies, including EFT. So we just want to make sure nurses are aware of those resources and take advantage of them for sure. And I'll make sure to include all this information in our show notes, Suze, including the link to how to reach you and schedule the first session, right?
Mm-hmm. And they can call the Cushman Wellness Center directly. We have 2 wonderful people in our reception area who can give you information. Usually what happens if you call them, they will let me know that you are interested, and then I give you a call right back and let you know when we can schedule and go ahead and schedule. And the other thing too is I also send out what's called a pre-intake form. So you need to fill that out just like you would if you went in for any other kind of service with the massage therapist or the acupuncturist. And a lot of time too, Olga, it's nice. These services can go hand in hand. So maybe do a massage and some EFT, or, you know, acupuncture and EFT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. You can mix and match, right? There are so many options. And, you know, my hope is just that our nurses will take that to heart and really engage in self-care, do little things they can do at home, but also take advantage of those amazing services that we have at Sharp. And Suze, thank you again so much for your time here today. I certainly learned a lot. And thank you for indulging me and answering all my questions. It's so wonderful to have an actual expert on the topic.
Well, thank you for shining a light on the topic, because it is something real, and it can sometimes cause nurses to suffer in silence or alone. You know, so I hope that today's podcast starts a conversation. You know, people are going to be okay. There's no shame. There is no guilt in having compassion fatigue. It's something that goes with the profession. And most people that go into the nursing profession or the healthcare profession, they already have a high level or ability of compassion. And again, like Chaplain Paul said, we all have that reservoir, but sometimes that reservoir is empty. And just like your car, you know, you need to fill it up with gas, you need to fill it with oil, you need to put water in the windshield wiper dispenser. So why wouldn't you, you know, do services or things that's going to help fill up that compassion reservoir again too?
Yeah. We don't expect our cars to run on empty, right?
No, and a human being, especially a nurse, can't run on empty either.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, thank you again so much, Suze, for being here. And thank you everyone who tuned in today to learn about this important subject. And just as we've been saying all this time, is as professionals, I mean, working in healthcare is so difficult, right? So we all need to pay greater attention to compassion fatigue and kind of know that can happen to us and recognize the signs and symptoms and learn the pathways to resilience and prevention so you can refuel your compassion reserves and continue to serve, you know, your patients and your loved ones in the best way possible. So thank you again, everyone. We appreciate your time. We appreciate you. Thanks for everything that you do. We'll provide all the information and resources in the show notes, and have a wonderful week, everyone.
Can I just say thank you to all of my colleagues at the Cushman Wellness Center who do provide services?
Yes.
You know, thank you. They do such an amazing job. They are also very compassionate and nurturing and caring, and they deserve little shout out to.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone at the Cushman Center. We love you. We love your services.
Thank you.
And thank you, everyone, again for tuning in. Thank you, Suze, for joining me today. And have a wonderful, wonderful week. Bye.
Download this episode and find more great information on health and wellness by visiting Sharp Best Health on sharp.net.